Hi, I'm Karen Florin, and this is the Storyline Podcast. Today, I'm here with the Day's High School Scholastic Sports Editor, Vicki Fulkerson, who is also, of course, a very good reporter. And we are going to talk about an upcoming series that we're very excited about on all area players of the year. Vicki, what is an all-area player of the year, and how are they selected?
We have eight different fall sports, eight different winter sports, and nine different spring sports. And we pick a player of the year and a corresponding all-area team or all-star team, but we call it all-area, for each one of those sports. And now in the past year, it's been a little different because of the COVID pandemic. Last spring, there were no sports at all, so we didn't get to have any teams or players of the year. In the fall and the winter this year, it was our idea to, even though so we couldn't really pick a team because they didn't compete against each other. There were no state tournaments. It was like hard to judge it. Like, are you going to leave a kid off a team because their team had COVID and didn't get to play? So, but we wanted to do something, and especially when you go to the games during that time period and you see how hard the kids were working and just how like every game was like a state championship. We picked players of the year for the last two seasons, but no teams. So this is our return to picking the full teams and the players of the year. So it's exciting.
Okay, so let's just be clear. These all area teams that we're selecting don't actually play on the field or on the court as a team.
Yeah, it's like just like an all-star team that we run on a grid in the paper. We run the player of the year story, a big story on the player of the year. They come in, have their photos taken. Sean Elliott does like a photo shoot with them. And then we run like a grid. We pick them by position for track. We pick the best 100 runner, the best 200 runner, the best hurdler, the best high jumper, softball, the best infielders, the best outfielders. So we do it like that.
Okay. And when you say we, who are the judges, so to speak?
Well, our whole staff, we kind of collaborate a little bit. Some people have, more expertise in certain sports. Like Ned is a big football guy. You know, he's got a football blog. And I probably see more field hockey or more cross country, but some of them are, like the running ones are kind of time based and height based and stuff like that. But like then when it's baseball and softball, like how do you tell who the best shortstop is? Well, if someone makes all state or all, New England for soccer, or we just had a lacrosse player make all American, then that kind of delineates it a little bit. But we email coaches and text them sometimes if we know them real well, and then if we have a question, we'll run it by other people on the staff, or run it by Chuck. Like, what do you think about this? And like sometimes we're like deadlocked on something, and we'll vote, or
Wow. So sometimes you have trouble deciding who the player should be, and sometimes is it very obvious?
Yeah, sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes we have a state open champion in tennis, or a state tennis champion, or an All-American in boys lacrosse this year. The state open high jump champion is boys track, and then sometimes. Sometimes there's a bunch of people that all distinguish themselves or led a bad team to a good record or won a state championship and especially like sometimes football, there's a lot of good players, or baseball or softball or soccer, there's a lot of good players, and we kind of hem and haw a little bit, and Chuck will send out an email like, okay, who thinks this person and who thinks this person? So
Chuck Banning, the sports editor. Okay, and we saw some of us coming and going from day headquarters here, saw something going on down in the garage bays. Can you tell me about your production?
Yeah, so last fall during the pandemic when we started to have the Players of the Year come in, but it's still a pandemic, we had to figure out something because we couldn't have people in the building. So Sean set up, Sean Elliott, the photo director, set up, and Peter Huapi, our video editor, they set up this little photo studio in what is a distribution bay in the back of the paper, and it's like in the basement or on the first floor of the paper, where they distribute the papers. But they have these big rolling bay doors that open up, and so it's very well circulated air. For the pandemic, but then it's not outside. So if it's raining or 30 degrees, then it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And I had to give out directions to the kids, like try to figure out how to give directions to our alley. But it's worked out great. And the kids are real good sports about it. And they all show up, and it's real interesting. Just Sean and Peter have to set up and take down the photo studio every time we have a kid come in because they can't leave it up because it's our distribution bay.
I know. I've seen Peter Wappy hauling equipment up and down the elevator and so on and so forth. So beginning July 3rd and running through July 11th,
yes,
we are going to have stories on each of these teams and players.
Mm-hmm. Starts Saturday with boys tennis, and then Sunday, the 4th of July, will be girls tennis, and then it progresses like one sport per day. We finish up with softball on the 10th and baseball on the 11th. I try to alternate them, boy-girl. It doesn't always work out every season, but...
Okay, obviously this is a ton of work going into this. What are the stories going to look like? Are they profiles of each player?
We try to find out a little bit more than so-and-so scored 30 goals and had 30 assists. It's like the girls tennis player of the year is coached by her mom. I went into that a little bit. Sometimes Ned Griffin will ask him what their favorite music is or something, if someone plays an instrument, or like we try to get to know them a little better. And so it's not just 100% sports based. It's real interesting feature stuff, like what they're thinking, what they plan on doing in the future, if they have chosen a college, why they're going there, how they felt their season went, if they're disappointed, you know.
As we're talking, it's still a few days before July 3rd, and we are not allowed to identify these players of the year, right? So tell me why the secrecy.
I don't know. It's just there. It's our thing. It's our team. Like we've been doing this since I've worked here 31 years. We've always published our all area teams. And I don't know if a coach calls and says, "Oh, we're having a banquet. Can I tell my girls who's on the team from our team at the banquet?" Sometimes we say, "Yeah, sure," but why have, you know, I don't know, it's our thing, and we release it like 6 o'clock the night before online, and then it comes out in the paper the next day, and it's just something special to me. It's special.
Yeah, it sounds like you're pretty passionate about this project, which is really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
To me, it's like Christmas morning for me to put them together. That's why Chuck Banning leaves me in charge of it, because I just I just really enjoy it. To me, it's like Christmas morning. The rapport that you get with the kids. So next year when I go to tennis, I'll know the player better because I interviewed her and her mom. Next year when I see the track guy, you know, high jump, I'll know him, but he also plays football and basketball, so I'll know him better, you know. Like you just get to know the kids better. They come in, they ask you questions. One time we had a girl, Megan Bronner from Ledyard, was player of the year for four different seasons in a row, outdoor track, cross country, indoor track, and then outdoor track again our senior year. So you get to know the kids. You just get a different rapport with them than you would otherwise, and it's kind of nice.
That's what being your local newspaper, I think, is all about, right?
Yes.
What else did you want to tell us before we conclude, Vicki?
We're so happy to be able to, publish the teams again this year and the players of the year. It's a lot of work because you have to design the grids and pick out the pictures, and Sean has to take the pictures, and Peter Huapi does a video of each player of the year. They do a video interview, and that gets attached online. So just like kind of coordinating it, I text all the coaches of the players of the year and get all their contact information, and then I have to text them all, get their email addresses, then send them all directions to the photo studio, and then if someone has a conflict, then we have to reschedule. It's a lot of work, but I just love, like I said, having that rapport with the kids and getting to know them and getting to write the stories, and they trust you to tell their stories, and it's just really a lot of fun for me. I like it.
Yeah, your passion for this really is coming through in this podcast, and that's excellent. Folks, if you want to go online, what time on Saturday night?
Friday night, because it's Saturday's paper. I think we publish them about 5 or 6 o'clock. It'll be boys tennis. Yeah, is the first one, and it comes out the night before, like 6 o'clock, and then it will be in Saturday's paper.
So on theday.com, the day before, that would be July 2nd, and running all the way through July 11th with boys and girls tennis, boys and girls lacrosse, golf, track and field, boys and girls track and field, softball, and baseball. So we'll catch you for this excellent series, Vicki. Thank you.
Thank you.